It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Hebrews, we are continuing our series on Christian Biblical Basics. This is a six-part series that helps us to lay a foundation on understanding the Word of God and to develop a closer relationship with the Lord and to also enrich and help us to develop our Christian relationship with others. This is the teaching on Christian Biblical Basics, Session 5, Developing Your Relationship with the Lord. Our objective is to learn that we are never alone and the importance of consistent fellowship with the Lord and sweet communion with the Holy Spirit. When we think of the word relationship, this is defined as an individual who is born again, saved, and adopted into the family of God, and as a result, they now have a close walk with the Lord in a personal relationship. When we speak of relationship, we're speaking of an individual that personally knows the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. When we see the word know in the scriptures, K-N-O-W, this speaks of intimacy. This speaks of closeness. This speaks of a walk with the Lord. This speaks of relationship. It's a word of intimacy in the scriptures. Individuals can know of someone, or individuals can know someone. When you know of someone, you just know them by a third person experience, or you may not know the particulars or the personal traits of an individual. But when you know someone, that speaks of closeness and intimacy. Individuals may know of the President of the United States, but only the spouse knows the President of the United States. In terms of closeness, in terms of knowing the specifics about the individual, in terms of relationship. For example, when we were in love and first fell in love with our spouses, this prompted us to want to know them. This kind of love speaks to them always being in our thoughts. We would want to communicate with them, spend time with them. We would call them on the phone. We would text them often. This speaks of a personal relationship with that particular spouse. So it is with our Lord and Savior. As a result, we have a relationship with the Lord. Those that know God have a relationship with the Lord. In terms of wanting to spend time with the Lord, in terms of having the Lord on our thoughts, in terms of desiring to please the Lord. This is what individuals do when they truly know the Lord. They seek a close relationship with the Lord to walk with Him and talk with Him along life's narrow way, and a life that's bent in the direction of pleasing the Lord. There are many that confess and profess that they know the Lord, but in contrast, they do not have a relationship with the Lord. They do not know the Lord, and as a result, they're not going to make it into the kingdom. Jesus Christ said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" Jesus Christ also said, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out demons in thy name? Have I not done many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus Christ will respond and say, Depart from me, I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. Knew you speaks of personal relationship, speaks of being personally introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation, through faith in him. This relationship that we're speaking of today is prompted by love. We love him because he first loved us. Scripture teaches faith worketh by love. Scripture teaches that with love and kindness he has drawn us. Scripture teaches, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This relationship is rooted and grounded in love. Point number one. In developing our relationship with the Lord, we should always remember that we are never alone. We can talk to the Lord through the precious Holy Spirit. We can sing to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of intimacy, in terms of closeness, in terms of never leaving us alone. There are examples in the scriptures how God comforted his people through times of service. Joshua, as he was about to take leadership of the nation of Israel. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says, Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Why was Joshua not afraid? Why was Joshua strong and of good courage? Why was not Joshua dismayed? Because the Lord was with him. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 8 states, Be not afraid of their faces, for I am here with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Why was not Jeremiah afraid of the religious leaders' faces when he had to preach to them and teach them and tell them to repent? It is because the Lord was with him. Moses, before he went to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, he was encouraged in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, where the Lord says, I will be with thee. Why was not Moses afraid when he went to Pharaoh? Because the Lord was with him. Daniel in the lion's den in chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, he was thrown in the lion's den for praying. Why was not Daniel afraid? Because the Lord was with him and shut the lion's mouth. The three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3 were thrown in the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Why were the three Hebrew boys not afraid in the fiery furnace? Because the Lord was with them. Joseph, in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, was falsely imprisoned for 13 years for sexual assault, and yet Joseph was told three times in that chapter that God was with him. Why was not Joseph afraid? Why did Joseph continually trust in the Lord? Because the Lord was with him. The Lord will never leave us alone. He's with us in the good times. He's with us in the hard times. He's with us when we don't even sense his presence. He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. It is up to us to reach out in faith and know that he's right there with us whithersoever we go, and to walk by faith and not by sight, to walk with the strength of the Lord, knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? Knowing that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are never alone. When individuals have a relationship with the Lord, they should have that God sense within them, that they recognize his presence through the Holy Spirit, that they recognize that he is right there, abiding and residing in their heart. And we can speak to the Lord through the precious Holy Spirit. We can pray. We can commune. We can communicate in a relationship throughout the day, thanking him, praising him, asking him to lead us and guide us, asking him to have mercy on us, bestow grace upon us. Whatever the conversation may be, we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. This relationship also prompts us to sing to the Lord. This is an excellent way to develop our relationship with the Lord, our closeness with the Lord. We can sing to him not just during church, but we can sing to him as we lay our head down and sleep. We can sing lullabies to the Lord. We can sing songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving in our heart to the Lord. And as a Christian, there is a beauty, not just of the senses, but there is a beauty of the Spirit. A beauty that we can worship in the beauty of holiness. A beauty in music that we can sing in a loving, worshiping, praising, adoration towards him. Music is a very powerful means of communication. And the world uses music the wrong way. There are many top 10 songs out there in the world that speak of singing to someone, singing to a woman or a man, speaking of a relationship in lust or desiring to be with that person. And the world defines that as love. But in contrast, we as Christians honor the scriptures when it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Scripture teaches in the book of Job, it is the Lord that gives us songs in the night. So as the twilight comes, as the sun sets, as we go to sleep, we can sing unto the Lord, and he will reciprocate his presence. As we sing to him and praise him, his presence will come down and abide with us. He will nestle with us. He will cuddle with us. He will encourage us. He will embrace us with love and kindness as we commune with him, sing to him, and have a relationship with him through song. It's personal. It's not public. It's not a top 10 Billboard song that many others have. It's a personal song, yet on the top 10 in heaven. And God will reciprocate with the precious comfort of the Holy Spirit. We are never alone. Psalm 33, sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalm 34, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Scripture encourages us to sing to the Lord and not sing to another individual. Scripture encourages us to glorify the Lord in song. Ephesians chapter 5 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Point number 2. In developing our relationship with the Lord, we are encouraged to obey the Holy Spirit. The scriptures will confirm the voice of that we hear and the voice that we hear will confirm the scriptures. And in everything, we please the Lord. In the Old Testament, God would appear over the brazen altar as sacrifices were given unto him as the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of the Lord. Now in these New Testament days, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will reside in us and abide in us and send us the Holy Spirit upon salvation, that we may have his presence leading us and guiding us down the path of righteousness. John chapter 14, verse number 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. This comforter is the Holy Spirit. This comforter in the literal Greek is another like me. Jesus Christ was on this earth 3.5 years as a presence with the disciples and the apostles. As Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended up on glory, he did not leave us comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit to abide in us upon salvation, and we are not comfortless, and we are never alone. We have a better relationship than the early individuals in the scriptures, because we have not only the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and God as our Father adopted into the family of God through salvation, but we also have the precious Holy Spirit on the inside. John chapter 14 again, verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. There's that word of intimacy. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the ultimate in intimacy, to where the Lord communes with us as one through a relationship and through the precious Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we only observe that God spoke to his Son, Jesus Christ, only, and to others he spoke through his Son, and especially in the book of Acts, he spoke to us through the precious Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the precious Holy Spirit. And we will begin to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit as we confirm the things we hear with the scriptures. The Holy Spirit, for example, will always lead you down the path of righteousness. If the voice you hear is not leading you down the path of righteousness, it is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always glorify the Lord, as spoken in John chapter 16, verse 14. If that voice is not glorifying the Lord, then that voice is not the Holy Spirit. We confirm the voice that we hear with the scriptures, and the scriptures will confirm the voice that we hear. This is done as we live a life in loving faith, that in everything we do, we always attempt to please the Lord. This allows us to be a sweet savior in the nostrils of God. This allows us to be pleasing in his sight, and he will reside with us and abide with us and walk with us and lead us and guide us by the precious Holy Spirit. The more that we walk in faith, in love, doing the will of the Father, the more we will begin to learn his voice and recognize his voice and begin to have a closer walk with the Lord. Point number 3. in developing our relationship with the Lord, we must learn how to present our body a living sacrifice and renew our mind. When we are born again, when we are saved, we do not get a brand new mind. We have the same old mind. We have the same memory bank, the same history of experiences. We have the same thought patterns. We have the same mind as before, and now it is up to us, if we want a relationship with the Lord, to begin to change our thinking and to begin to agree with the scriptures and conform our thoughts to the scriptures. For the scriptures are God's will. For the scriptures are truth. For the scriptures are the roadmap that we live by in this life. For example, praying for your enemies, blessing them that persecute us, that's scripture. Forgiving 70 times 7, that's scripture. Praying without ceasing, that's scripture. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church, that's scripture. So as we become students of the Word and dig into the Word daily, as spoken of in the book of 2 Timothy, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we begin to saturate ourselves with the Word. And the Word begins to change our thinking, and we begin to agree with God by agreeing with God's Word. We begin to know the Lord through the scriptures, know His plan, His nature, His purpose for us through the scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here, Scripture is encouraging us to change our thinking to the Scriptures. And lastly, we are encouraged to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If we want a close walk with the Lord, if we want to develop a relationship with the Lord, we have to begin to understand that we are not our own, that we're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And out of love, we begin to present our bodies every day to do the will of God. No longer speaking things that are ungodly, but we present our tongue unto the Lord. We present our hands, our feet, our eyes, our bodies a living sacrifice. Scripture teaches in Romans chapter 12, it is our reasonable service. Literally speaking, it is the least we can do. Literally speaking, it is what's expected of us. Literally speaking, it is what we do to maintain a closer walk with the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Here, we still have a choice to go to the right or go to the left. We still have a choice as free moral agents to choose a path. A person can still have the choice and liberty to steal. A person can still have the choice and liberty to have sex outside of marriage. A person can still have the choice and liberty to default and defraud their neighbor. We still have the choice and liberty to do that which is not right in God's eyesight. We as free moral agents, as human beings, still have the freedom and the liberty to sin and do that which is unrighteous if we choose to. But as Christians, now according to these scriptures in Romans, we don't have to sin anymore. The difference is, as being born again, saved, and as individuals now filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to do that which is unrighteous. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer tells us what to do. We are no longer compelled to do that which is not right in God's eyesight. We're no longer compelled to do that which the old nature used to dictate. No, Christians are not perfect, but we don't have to yield the right of way to doing the wrong things anymore. We don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to do that which is unpleasing in God's eyesight. Sin no longer has dominion over us because we are now born again and filled with the precious Holy Spirit. And as we yield the right of way to the promptings and the conviction and to the tugging and wooing of the Holy Spirit in love, we can walk a path that is pleasing to God. Why? Because as Christians, now we have the precious Holy Spirit that can lead us and guide us and empower us. And as individuals that are now born again and saved, we are dead to sin. We have been changed. Our heart has been changed on the inside, and now we love the Lord. Scripture teaches, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This does not mean that Christians are going to be perfect. This means that Christians don't have to sin like we used to. Why? Because we're not the same person we used to be. As Christians, our desire is to please the Lord. And as a result, we yield the right of way by the Holy Spirit to live a life that's free from sin, to please the Lord. Christians are not perfect, but Christians have the power to live a life that's pleasing to God, free from sin, as we live a life that's yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, and as we live a life that our first motive is to please the Lord in word, thought, and deed. We are individuals that love the Lord, and because we love the Lord and want to please Him, we are no longer going to turn to the left and do what the flesh desires us to do. We are going to turn to the right and please the Lord and follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's a part of that God sense that we have now. It's a part of that God awareness that we have. It's a part of knowing who we are in the Lord, that we are not the same person we used to be. For Scripture teaches, we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. And we don't have to do the same things we used to do. The natural man cannot control himself. He is sensual, the Scriptures teach, and he does not have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he does what he does by nature. He will do things in the flesh. He will speak certain things contrary to the Lord. He will think a certain way. It's just what he does or she does naturally. But we that are new creatures in Christ Jesus, where this old nature is now subject to the Holy Spirit and no longer rules over us, we can now yield the right of way and begin to do that which is pleasing in His sight and have a close relationship with the Lord. This is the teaching on Christian Biblical Basics, Part 5, Developing Our Relationship with the Lord. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.